Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Jesse Billington, and we're back to preview the 14th round of the 2025 Formula One season, the Hungarian Grand Prix. And I have completely replaced Timo Albers Daly for this week's episode. I'm instead joined by friend of the podcast, Haas aficionado Henry Wallace, aka the Haas Chap. Welcome back to the podcast, and how are you?
Thank you very much, Jesse. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Been a busy day back up in the office doing my day job and another podcast, which I was halfway through editing before deciding to go to the pub for a friend's leaving drinks. So, yeah, strange day, one full of emotion and a lot of work. But anyway, ready to look forward to the Hungarian Grand Prix. We've got some news to get through beforehand. And we'll kick off with the news that the Formula One 2026 sprint calendar has been announced. We've got China, Miami, Canada, Silverstone, Zandvoort, and Singapore joining the roster for next year's sprints, to which I have subnoted each in order. Could be good, could be good, could be good, But Singapore can be a good race. The problem is that it's a sprint, so no one's really going to be pushing for it because they know they've got the Grand Prix, so probably is that ultimately going to be
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a frustrating one for me particularly. Well, because I think sprint races do definitely tend to lean on short circuits. And whether or not Silverstone did did one of the first sprints, I believe. But for me, I think a track like Austria is your best bet to have a sprint. And why it isn't just a permanent sprint race weekend, year on year on year, because it just you want a track that elicits plenty of overtaking but is short enough and sharp enough to be able to give you that kind of that fast-paced heart in your mouth action that we so regularly see in tracks like Austria.
Yeah, you sort of need it needs to be at the right circuit, and if it's not the right circuit, it doesn't work. And Canada, even in a Grand Prix format where the drivers are really going hammer and tong at it, has never really proven that. Canada, I think, could be interesting. Miami is sort of one of those circuits that can prove something interesting, but it's usually like the overall result of a Grand Prix, and you don't get that when it's compressed into a sprint. Canada could be interesting. Silverstone, we know, has some good overtaking opportunities and could be interesting. Zandvoort might be interesting, but the problem is it's too narrow to really provide many of the great overtaking opportunities. Then that just leaves Singapore, which, as we said, is sort of one of those circuits where you get a really good race from it, but yeah, you get a good race if you know everyone's waiting to do the next race the next day. So it's, yeah, the sprint is always going to be hamstrung by the fact that there is so little reward for the risk you're asking drivers to undertake. So you sort of always end up with something that's a bit processional.
That is it. Unless you could adapt the sprint format to where they have the tyre allocation, they have an extra lot of tyres for specifically the sprint, where it's a completely different compound to the rest of the Grand Prix weekend. So there's no data collected that can be relevant to the Grand Prix, and it could be softer, so it's more likely of degradation, and then you could potentially have the jeopardy of a pit stop being necessary, not mandated, but necessary.
Yeah, something sort of closer to the Formula 2 sprint races where they run it on the soft tyre. There isn't a mandated pit stop, but often you have drivers that sort of chew through them, they'll scuff them up, they'll lock up a corner, and you end up with those pit stops that sort of shuffle things around. I think there's got to be an interesting way of making the sprints work, because in theory it does work, and potentially it's just a case of Formula 2 is exciting, Formula 3 is exciting. They're smaller cars, they're more tightly packed, they get overtaking done more easily. That's why their sprints work. The F1 cars still doesn't work for. Maybe the new Formula 1 car will provide something interesting. Moving on from the sprints, though, Oscar Piastri is currently on a record hot streak. Currently, he is on the third longest finishing streak in Formula One history. 41 races all in a row finished. Mexico 2023 through to the present day. Ahead of him is Max Verstappen, who has enjoyed a 43 race streak, Emilia Romagna in 2022, all the way to Saudi 24, which did end in Oz when his brakes blew up. And Lewis with 48 races, Britain 2018 through to Bahrain 2020. So, an interesting sort of series of events that we're sort of seeing this sort of quiet record setter, Oscar Piastri, just emerging, this sort of consistency, cleanliness, just getting the job done. And that's paying dividends this year.
It really is, and if we were listening over the weekend just gone, covering the Belgian Grand Prix, Nico Rosberg made a comment that Oscar is walking like a world champion, and it's with these sorts of streaks and record-breaking kind of trends that you would end up getting, as you can clearly see from Max and Lewis both holding, you know, one record after another for most number of finishes. It's kind of, I think it's really alluding to the fact that Oscar Piastri is definitely, for my money, my earlier in the year predictions were completely horrendously wrong at this point. It seems like Oscar seems to be really on this decent trajectory, and it's another seven races isn't impossible for him to maintain a complete finishing record. So could he overtake Lewis? Potentially. It's not out of the realms of possibility. I think it's very likely he could overtake Max at the very least.
Yeah, he's only got to do another two races and he could overtake Max in that regard. I mean, you look at the other drivers that have achieved sort of similar runs of success, certainly the top 10 of that list. Lewis Hamilton has all got a second entry into that, as does Max Verstappen. Hamilton's other one is 33 races, Japan 16 through France 18, Max Verstappen, Japan 24 through Canada 25, Kimi Raikkonen is on there, Australia 2012 through Hungary 2013, Fernando Alonso, China 2013 through Belgium 2014. In fact, the only two real outliers in that for sort of not having championships are Piastri, Carlos Sainz, Daniel Ricciardo, and Nick Heidfeld, but Ricciardo 34 race streak and Heidfeld, the 33 race streak. So you're looking at sort of really the creme de la creme of drivers. And it's only really when you start to sort of get outside of that. Even in 11th, Nico Rosberg has a 27 race streak. Then you get to Esteban Ocon with a 27 race streak as well in 12th. So you're looking at sort of like drivers that just have this incredible consistency to them, which does, with a great many of them, reveal championships as well. So we'll see how that pans out for Oscar Piastri, and hopefully he can keep it going. It'll be interesting to see if he does. In more important news, looking a bit more towards the future, Revolut have joined Audi as their title sponsor for when they arrive officially in the sport. There's nothing much sort of to crow about with this, but it looks like they're well backed and could prove to be a good entry, although development around their engine is still very quiet, as early signs were that it was potentially off the pace power-wise.
Yeah, there is Audi, considering they're entering within the next 6 months, like officially, it is very quiet. And you'd understand that they'd want to kind of keep things on the down low, because even though they're a new team, they're still the old Sauber, really, until they kind of have a few years behind them and that identity from years gone by has kind of really left the nest. But, you know, in the world of Formula One, there are so many, you know, sponsors from all different kind of avenues, and like my boys MoneyGram, you know, it's fintech, it's one of these industries that's been really growing over the past decade. It's kind of no real surprise that Revolut is kind of joining the party, you know, alongside the likes of Visa. Are we going to be calling them Revolut Audi, Audi Revolut, or is it just going to be a title sponsor that isn't referred to in kind of everyday talk? Are they just going to be like they do with Mercedes or Haas or Red Bull? It'll just be Audi, and the Revolut would get kind of put to one side. But would this mean that there could be some, I don't know, contactless payment memes floating about
There could, I
in the
think it's,
future?
there's possibly scope for some good memes on that. Certainly if they, yeah, I don't know. I think you'd probably have to be sort of cleverer than I and a lot closer to sort of the world of the internet to sort of really nail down some sort of contactless memes. Like, I think if they were to have, if they were to be have a car involved in like a large shunt and the car emerges completely unscathed, there's certainly like a contactless joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not uncommon
Yeah,
to have those
absolutely.
financial style sort of teams in F1 now. Like you said, you've got Visa, you've got MoneyGram, Cash App obviously wants a Red Bull as well. But again, I think they're just going to be known as Audi in the same way that no one refers to it as Atlassian Williams. Everyone just calls it Williams. It's not HP Ferrari. It's just
Yeah.
Ferrari. They will just be called Audi, I think, or potentially if you're a bit of a stick in the mud like
I'm
many
sure the
people are.
people, I'm sure the people behind the sponsorships though will definitely argue otherwise. They'd go, no, it is Atlassian Williams. It is HP Ferrari. Say the full name. Thank you very much. Jump cut to the copious amounts of clips on Drive to Survive of Toto Wolff mispronouncing or misremembering exactly what Mercedes AMG Petronas Formula One team is called.
Yeah, it'll be all those moments where they sort of turn to like their sort of media handler and go, "What's the full team name again?" And they go, "It's Visa Cash App Racing Bulls." I'm fairly certain
Yeah.
I know that by now. But yeah, speaking of new teams,
Yeah.
eventually a Cadillac Formula One team announcement on the very near horizon. I haven't been able to properly substantiate the rumors on this yet, so we'll see what comes. But there could be something coming out this weekend that solidifies a bit more of Cadillac's plan as they enter Formula One, because they're still hiring people. They've still got sort of putting out the feelers for sort of different roles and bits on LinkedIn. So they're still definitely building up, but it's going to be interesting to see sort of how much longer we have to wait till we get like some big proper news from them.
Yeah, it's obviously a little bit kind of difficult for me to kind of like not take in, but to kind of accept the fact that Cadillac are coming in. Me, with my love for the current American F1 team, there is so many things that have been spoken about Cadillac. There was a potential teaser that was going to happen at Silverstone, and effectively all we got was a picture of a door. Of just Cadillac F1 team, no entry. That was it. There was a bit of hype that there was going to be something there, and it kind of never really materialized. The team manager, not the team principal, but somebody who kind of manages the overall inner workings of the team on a Grand Prix weekend, Peter Kroller, he was at Haas. He has now gone to Cadillac. So that also feels a little bit bittersweet. And they're using Ferrari engines. Again, is it really the American team? Oh, and where is their current main base? Oh, that's right, it's in the UK. Oh,
Yeah.
so are they actually the American? No, they're exactly like us.
Yeah.
Let's just not. You might People might think that it's going to be American, and it's going to be, oh yeah, let's get Colton Herta and Andretti's in the project. Yeah, yes, you are correct. But it is just as American as Haas is. And I was not expecting this to turn out to be around, but I haven't had very many platforms to be able to say this on. So I'm taking my opportunity now to go, look, you might think Cadillac is going to be an American team, the American team, but it's no different to Haas at the moment. So stick with Haas. Stick with Haas. We've been around 10 years now.
Yeah, if you're thinking about jumping ship with Allegiance, stick with Haas for a little while longer. But yeah, it's great because everyone goes, "Oh, we're getting another American team." And I go, "What do you mean another American team? We've just sort of got like, for want of a better phrase, Haas are just like a prototypic F1 team. They have a base in the
Yeah.
UK because that's where all the brains is, and they buy their engines from Ferrari because that's sort of the best ones to really sort of get hold of these days. And all of their engineers are from scattered across different European countries, like." That is any Formula One team. They just sort of happen to be basically based in the same sort of swathe of the South Midlands that most F1 teams are based in. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what this announcement is, if there is indeed an announcement. The announcement might simply be that there is no announcement if you're fans of the thick of it yet. But anyway, we'll move on more accurately to bits relating to the Hungarian Grand Prix. And we've got a wholly new start finish straight at the Hungaroring with updated pit buildings, paddock space, grandstands, and hospitality. This ties in with the circuit celebrating 40 years of hosting a Formula One Grand Prix. There's also a celebratory statue in the Hero Square in Budapest. So yeah, we're seeing the circuit update finally. It sort of moved on a bit from being the first circuit behind the Iron Curtain, which it's still certainly sat in like the further reaches of the circuit last year. Definitely got an idea that you were sort of in the circuit that was first F1 race behind the Iron Curtain, because it still very much felt like it as well.
Yeah.
Plastic school chairs screwed down to a giant wooden grandstand. You're sort of like, oh, this is Basic. But yes, Tuesday and Wednesday, the 5th and 6th of August, after the Grand Prix, are when Pirelli will be holding their 2026 tyre development test. Ferrari, Racing Bulls, and McLaren are all taking part for one day, while Alpine is running on both. The test is aimed at evaluating tyre constructions for next year, as well as sort of in line with the regulations. They've got to get these homologated by the 1st of September. So they'll also be evaluating a few new compounds. They get sort of homologated for December, I think. So it's proving to be a busy week for the Hungaroring. And after the Hungaroring session, there are a further 6 days of testing planned for tyres, two at Monza, two at Mugello, two in Mexico City. So interesting, one of those not on the calendar, but we'll see how that plans out. But again, Mugello, sort of, I think it's the home circuit for Pirelli, so makes sense for them to be heading over there. A trio of slick tyre compounds for this year is exactly the same as last year's. We've got the C3 hards, the C4 mediums, and the C5 softs. Up until last year, these would have been the softest tyres of all, but this year, with the C6 would have been introduced, that's all sort of been shuffled up a little bit. However, the new compound would be a bit of an extreme choice, Pirelli said, for this track, because it exerts a relatively high energy density on the tyres for each lap. You've got a lot of slow corners you're getting drivers out of, a lot of long radius corners that you've got the tyres to get through. So you couldn't really go with that soft. It would be dead after a lap. So although the actual loads are quite high in absolute terms, the lap is so short, it just increases cumulatively. There's never a breaking point for the tyre to go down a long enough straight to sort of release its energy. Another factor that really plays into this is the fact that Hungary is often a high temperature circuit as well. Last year, thermal degradation was sort of hugely exacerbated by the very tr dark track surface. And I think they saw record track temperatures last year of 58.6 degrees Celsius, according to my notes, which is pretty toasty indeed. And if we see a warm and dry Grand Prix, something that would certainly favour the McLarens that are able to really stretch out their tyres. Lewis Hamilton remains the most successful driver around the circuit with 8 wins, 9 pole positions, and 12 podium finishes. Michael Schumacher is second when it comes to wins and pole position with 4 and 7, respectively. While Kimi Räikkönen is second to Lewis in terms of podium finishes with 9. Of the teams, McLaren has the best record here with 12 wins, followed by Williams and Ferrari, both on 7 apiece. McLaren and Mercedes share the lead when it comes to pole positions on 9, with Ferrari third on 8. Ferrari, however, tops the tables for podium places with 29 ahead of McLaren on 25 and Williams on 18. And more impressively, three drivers still racing today took their maiden Formula One victory at the Hungaroring. Fernando Alonso in 2003 with Renault, Esteban Ocon in 2021, effectively with the same team, and Oscar Piastri with McLaren last year. So it's a great circuit when it comes to this sort of really intricate history. We've got sort of new bits and pieces that are being added to it, but we've got the same compounds from last year. And last year's was pretty interesting. We had a race that was sort of dictated a bit by strategy, a bit case of get past where you can and try and make your tires go for as long as possible. It's hot, it's dry, it's challenging, and you do get a lot of rubber laid down across the weekend because you have all the feeder series there plus Porsche Super Cup.
Yes, I was really struggling to think of what else happened last year apart from the Norris Lando team call thing going on. And I had to kind of really dig deep. And off the top of my head, I still really can't remember that much about the Hungarian Grand Prix last year. I will say, though, I think as far as I'm aware, there is a chance of rain on Sunday. Now, considering what we just went through at the Belgian Grand Prix, I'm hoping it's nowhere near going to be nowhere near as kind of like danced around for in terms of like wet weather running. I think there could have definitely been an opportunity this weekend for us to actually go, right, if it is torrential, don't run. If there is a little bit of rain, send the cars out, drop the track out a little bit. But that's as far as I'm aware. There's not going to be too much on the Friday and the Saturday. I think it's going to be mainly dry. But then the Sunday is supposedly where the rain's coming in.
Yeah,
But
Sunday
it's a
should
little
have.
while away yet.
Yeah,
So,
it's what I've seen. But yeah,
yeah.
it's going to be an interesting one. I think off the back of a weekend where they didn't run in a lot of the wet weather, I think there will be a bit of an eagerness from within Formula One race direction and the FIA to sort of potentially rectify that. I think they're still, F1 is still scared to deploy Spa when it gets wet. I think the sad deaths of Dylan van Dorf and Antoine Hubert sort of still ring painfully clear in the minds of sort of race directors and the FIA when they get to Spa, and they sort of play it a little too safe sometimes, it feels. But I think with the Hungaro ring, the speeds are a lot lower. And also, it just doesn't have that visibility issue that Spa does. Spa, you have the spray trapped along the top end of it, which means that you lose that visibility, even if the track is drying. Whereas Hungaro ring, it's sort of a bit more open, it dries out a lot quicker, and you don't get that sort of weird trapped spray in the air. So you do get the visibility that you need to be able to safely run. So even if it is wet, I think we might get something. And that does lead me into neatly where I'm sort of aiming with the next bit as we get towards our predictions. There are a lot of long, constant radius corners here, heavy braking zones and short straights. Like Pirelli already said, this means that tire cooling is likely going to be an issue if it is warm and dry. This would hugely impact Mercedes and Ferrari, notably in the top end, opening the chance for Tsunoda to score a good result going into the summer break. The Red Bull relatively comfortable on its tires, and now that Yuki's got a fully upgraded chassis, he seems to be a bit more on the money. As you already said, Henry, Friday and Saturday looking fair and dry, about 29 degrees Celsius the last time I checked the conditions, with a high UV level likely sort of to spike those track temperatures. Look for drivers really struggling in the third sector. You've got series of two ve or three really very long radius corners that really load up those tires, and they swap. So you load up the inside on one and then the outside on the other, which results in a car that is a bit slippery on the ground when it comes to getting the power down for that start finish straight. However, Sunday is looking damp through the afternoon, really, with passing showers, which could shuffle the order as strategies come into play. It will be a question of who is the best setup going into the race, who has the best call for Inters when the rain comes. And we've seen weather shake up Budapest before, famously 2020. Will it do it again? So, with that in mind, it's time to lay down some.
Who knows?
Yeah. So obviously, in his absence, Timo has fired in some predictions. For pole position, he has gone for Oscar Piastri. I've gone for the other side of the McLaren garage of Lando Norris. Who do you think will have the hand when it comes to one lap pace?
Well, I will go against the grain and I will say George Russell.
Mercedes will be able to
I'm
keep the
throwing
tires
in
flat.
George because I feel like Mercedes, well, I feel like people have kind of been led a little bit awry from the tradition that Mercedes is a better performing car in the cool, where actually it seems to be a reasonable car in most weathers. I mean, last weekend, maybe not quite so much, but I also just I don't want to say Oscar Orlando because that's the boring one, and I kind of want to get in like a wild card point should it come true. So I'm going to throw in Georgie Porgy pudding and pie.
An interesting call, but a well-balanced one, I think. Podium-wise, Timo has gone for Oscar Piastri, Max Verstappen, and Lewis Hamilton first, second, third. I meanwhile think we could see Verstappen, Piastri, Tsunoda forming up our podium. I just have a hunch that Red Bull are going to be able to pull something out of the bag this weekend. Meanwhile, which way are you going?
I reckon it's going to end up being Piastri, then George, then Lando. So Piastri and Lando are not going to be far off pole, but Piastri, like we saw last weekend, is going to have like 2 tenths a lap, or maybe even 3 tenths a lap up on the rest of them, and it's just going to sail off into the distance. And the nerves that Lando has been, culminating all through the year, and the sorts of things that he's now starting to get past halfway the year, and he's not in the lead of the championship, he's 16 points down. I think it's just going to start to ever play into his mind, and that's where I think he's going to get a third good for McLaren, extending their points tally even further ahead of the rest of the field. But I think this could be another weekend where Lando gets knocked down a peg.
Yeah, I think it'll also be a really strong sign from Piastri if he's able to do that. If we get that finishing order with Piastri and Norris separated by what's quite a huge point gulf between first and third, we'll really open up the gap between them in the standings further as well. It's going to load the pressure onto him going into the second half of the season. That could be an interesting podium for what it sort of portends to as the year rolls by. Fastest lap, while Formula One no longer awards points for it, we still do. Both Timo and I have elected for George Russell to set a fastest lap over the race. Are you joining us on that prediction, or are you going somewhere else?
No, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go Esteban Ocon.
Here we go. The usual theme appears.
Do you expect anything else from me? Let's be honest. The
Well,
audience listening are fully aware of who, or maybe they're not fully aware of who that I am. I'm going, the fact that he liked a video of mine just yesterday still fresh in my mind. So I'm going with my boy Estevez.
fair enough. When we get to wild predictions, I think we could see Fernando Alonso in the top five. Out of nowhere, he gets something out of that Aston Martin, bags some points. Timo has simply said all of Henry's inevitable Haas predictions come true, which means what is your final Haas-based prediction?
Well, see, to Timo, I could have gone really silly, but I'm aware that Jesse is quite hungry and it's quite late in the day. So I didn't want to go through the whole rigmarole of going, I think Haas are going to be Haas 1-2, Haas 2025 World Constructors Champion. So I went sensible to oust you, Timo. Ha ha, take that. My wild prediction is that Haas are going to accrue enough points to jump up to P7.
Ooh, how far off P7 are they as it stands?
They
Let's...
are 8 points to
Ooh,
match stake.
that's interesting. Yeah.
Not quite enough, like a P8, P9, or like a P7, P8 situation, or however many, just not enough points to overtake Sauber. They could match them. They could
Yeah.
get 8 points. But on count back, Sauber would still be on top because of Nico's podium,
Yeah.
which is a strange sentence to say.
Yeah. One we never thought we'd
That's
ever.
what I'd say. Yeah. And of all the years, he had to do it this year, not last year.
So we're saying
Ouch.
let's reach P7 in the standings off their result. They had a
Yeah.
go of things in the sprint. They can produce a bit of pace as we've seen. And I think if they aren't gambling for their strategy so much based on the weather, and if they remember to not put Esteban on to used tires for the race, they might stand a better chance of things. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. I look forward to seeing if it comes true, especially because you bear in mind sort of how often hot and cold, certainly through the first sort of quarter of the season, that Sauber's blown. It's sort of either been
Yeah.
really good, really bad, really good, really bad. We might see a bit of that creep back in, which could open the door for the midfield to really sort of shake up once again. It's been topsy-turvy all season long so far. I don't
Yeah.
see it ending anytime soon.
No.
Which brings us nicely to the end of this episode of the Undercut Podcast. We'll be back next week for a review of the Hungarian Grand Prix. In the meantime, though, Henry, dare I even ask, where can people find you if they want more content from the Haas chap?
Well, funnily enough, you can find me at The Haas Chat on Instagram and TikTok and on YouTube. I have kind of put a target of myself this year of trying to really make YouTube a bit more of a thing. And I've done one interview and nothing since sort of February. So it's going well on that front. But yeah, Instagram and TikTok, you can follow me. You can also email me at thehaaschat@gmail.com. Should you desire to, I don't know, send me your love letters
Yeah,
or
send him some
romantic
poetry.
poems?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Longer form written content all to his email address. And of course, if you want more of me, you can find me on the internet. I'm on social media as at Jesse on Cars. There will be a hopefully a TikTok coming out this weekend because it'll be my July and summary issue. And of course, you can find me writing for Classic Car Weekly and on the Classic Car Weekly podcast. Latest issue is out today. I can't remember what's in it, despite the fact that we only reviewed it earlier today for the podcast. But yeah, that's out there. Go and buy it, give it a read, support print journalism. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the Hungarian Grand Prix, and we'll be back for a review podcast before we go into the summer break. It has approached so quickly.